You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Who should we speak with about Jason Dunstall? And the answer was really obvious. He's an absolute favourite, and he was there at the moment of arrival at Hawthorn. Terry Wallace. Plough, it's always great to have you back on the program. Welcome.
G'day, Jared. How are you going? And what a great time to come on. And I was absolutely rapt yesterday when I heard the news that Jace had become a legend. I sent him a message yesterday afternoon. He got back to me. So, couldn't be more pleased for him.
What immediately came to mind, Terry, and the wave of sentiment around it for you?
Just how good he was. I mean, I think I heard your show last night where you sort of summed it up. And it was the Coulda Beans song where, you know, just lead out, take a mark, kick a goal. But it was so much more than that, what he was actually able to achieve. I mean, just putting it, you know, for those who didn't really get the opportunity of sort of seeing him, I would have thought there was three things that were complete, absolute standouts with him. His footy intelligence. So how do you get to the stage where you get clear of your opponent each and every time? He just knew his timing of when to lead and when to hold was amazing. His elite speed and agility, I think, was underrated because of the size of him. I think people sort of thought, oh, he'd be a bit slow. Certainly the complete opposite. His power off the mark was just amazing. And then he had vice-like grip. His hands were just absolutely like a vice when he got near the ball, so he just didn't drop it. So you put those three things together. I didn't think he was ever the greatest kick, but what he did was he just worked and worked and worked on his craft until he became, you know, a great kicker of the footy as well. So put those four together and playing in pretty good sides, and that was the start of Jason.
All right, so take us back. First memories when you contemplate the arrival of Jason Dunstall.
So first memories, a young kid who looked pretty lost down here, and you see Jason now with the aura and confidence that he's got. It's hard to sort of think of a young kid who sort of, you know, shy and almost unsure of himself in his surrounds. Him and his girlfriend come down and they were living this little, you know, pretty ordinary flat in Power Street, Hawthorn. And I sort of felt almost a bit sorry for him at that early stage because he didn't know anyone in Melbourne. And so I sort of took him under my wing, and I found out pretty quickly that he loved the horse races. He loved the races. So me and him, originally we would go midweek, whether it be to Flemington or to the Mooney Valley or to Caulfield and Sandown, go off to the races. And that's sort of where our friendship started to build. And in those early days, I can remember Jared sort of him coming back to my place and having a beer after a game and sort of saying, when he first started getting into the senior side, saying, well, I think I'm leading exactly the way I would at home and I'm getting out, but these blokes just won't kick it to me. And I sort of turned around to him and sort of said, well, that's because they've kicked it to Lee Matthews, to Lethal Lee, for, you know, probably the last decade. So it's sort of hard to get it out of their habits. So he found it difficult in those early days playing alongside of Lee, but it was only in the next 12 months that he took control of the whole forward line. And the two blokes that were standing together both ended up being legends of our game.
So how did he win that senior group over, I suppose, to be their first choice when he was coming forward?
Just actions. I mean, eventually, well, Lee was only with him really for that one year, that 85 year, and then the forward line was his own after that. But just his actions. I think two things that stand out for me about Jason was how selfless he was. People sort of talk about him and the chase with Plugger Lockett. Plugger, stayed at home and would never necessarily give the ball off once it was in Plugger's hand. He was such a beautiful kick.
Yeah.
It was his goal to kick, where Jason gave up so many goals along the journey, with a flip over the top with a hand pass or chipping the ball back into the middle. So if he had have been selfish, he could have kicked more, but that's what was one of the things that the players loved about him was, he was getting the accolades for kicking the goals, but he was equally as happy to give them off if the opportunity came. And then his pressure and tackle performance as a key power forward. I mean, the one thing we always have a bit of a giggle about with a key power forward, they're the money men to do the job, but don't expect them to put any pressure on or do any of that sort of stuff. That's not their realm, but Jason was very much, that was his realm. I mean, his ability to hunt after blokes and chase them down was enormous. And so those two things are team-oriented, and that just wins over all your teammates.
So famously, he was hard to get close to, but Terry, so from the young bloke that you started to take to the races, you got close to it. So am I right in saying you're in each other's wedding parties?
Yeah, that's right. We spend a lot of time, and even I left after 86, so we only had a couple of years there together, but I didn't get married for two or three years after that, so we were still knocking around and hanging out together quite regularly. After the period of time that I left the Hawks and moved on. So yeah, look, he's I don't know whether people understand, and those who watch his show on a Sunday might be very, very surprised, but he is one of the most intelligent people you'll ever get to meet. His father was a QC, a Queen's Counsellor. His brother was a speechwriter in Canberra who wrote for speeches for the Prime Minister and all the dignitaries up in Canberra. Jason would have done law if he hadn't have chosen football. There's no doubt that was where he was heading. So he's a really, really super intelligent guy. And I suppose we saw that in the latter days when he took over not only the directorship at Hawthorn, but then the CEO's role. I mean, no slouch if you're doing that without having a background in that industry at the time. So, very, very intelligent guy. Somebody that I got on famously with, got the opportunity of going up to Queensland and meeting all his local mates up that way. So, as I said, when the news came through yesterday, I thought it was brilliant.
A glorious era of goal kicking, Terry. So they're almost mythical deeds now. If you told the kids who watch Bounce, who they see highlights from time to time of Jason, but when you recount to them, so 16 times double figures, 6 times 100 goals plus in a season, fastest to 1,000 goals by 3 years. Third on the goal kicking behind Tony Lockett and Gordon Coventry, goals per game behind only John Coleman and Peter Hudson. Like, that is legendary billing, if ever there was legendary billing, isn't it?
No doubt whatsoever. Look, I thought he was going to end up being the number one goal kicker there for a period of time. And I just think a few injuries towards the end sort of just curtailed him a little bit on catching the Plugger. But, it's amazing. And, a kid of today, if a player kicks 6 or 7 goals, they're in awe of what they have done. You imagine being out at Waverley the day that he kicked 16, or 16 or 17, I think it might have been 17. So, just quite remarkable what he was able to achieve. And the fact was that he did do it in a couple of different eras as well. I mean, the length of his time of kicking 100 goals in a season was there, but everyone sort of thinks, that's when they had him and Dermot up in the forward line and they were the power team. Yeah, well, he did that through 88 and 89 when they were the power team, but he was kicking 100s in 90, 92 and 93 and 94 when Hawthorn had come off a bit and they weren't the power side yet, you know, probably his best years were in that period of time. So for those who sort of say, well, he got him because he was in the best team, that's not actually necessarily right, and it's not doing him justice.
Yeah. Do you have a, I should have asked you this before, do you have a, an absolute favourite Jason Dunstall story that's fit for air?
Look, I think the one that everyone knows about is the one where they went on the end of season trip over to Florida, and Yabby Jeans was there, and Jason and a couple of them, after having a few beers along the journey, decided to beat it from a taxi, and the taxi driver caught up with him, and there was all sorts of kerfuffle. And Yabby Jeans come down there to try to sort it out, and obviously being a police officer himself, he sort of turned around and saw the sergeant who was in charge of the situation, and there were guns out, as this happens in America, and it was, you know, pretty tense. And Yabby just walked across in his calm way and just sort of said to the senior sergeant, he sort of said, I don't care what you do, but just don't shoot the fat one in the middle. And look, he's a bit of a rogue. I mean, you know, you can see by the fun that he has. He's had his moments along the journey. I mean, I always used to laugh at Yabby sort of saying, don't lead the young kid astray. I said, well, no one needs to be leading Jason astray. I think he does a good enough job himself. And the thing that I used to have to try to stop him doing on a Saturday evening after we played was Bundaberg rum was his that drink of choice. And once he started getting to the overproof stuff, I thought, no, we've had enough. It's time to go home. So.
Beautiful. Terry, great stuff. Are you watching plenty of footy at the start of a new season?
Yeah, it's been fascinating, hasn't it? Geez, the upsets on the weekend were enormous, and it's still sort of hard to get a complete read. I suppose it's always been that way, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks before you really get the drill down on where it's going. But really, really interesting season, and you know, you try to pluck who you think is the premiership favourite. It's almost impossible at this stage.
What about your thoughts on your old Bulldogs at the moment, who are very much the topic of the day?
Yeah, confusing. I must say, I'm sort of confused with what's going on there. I'm a little bit with those that are they playing for now or are they playing for the future? And I can't understand, you know, the Jack McRae stuff and where that sort of sits, and you know, him being almost shoved sideways. You know, does he stay? Does he go? You know, they've got some enormously good young tall talent coming through. I was really surprised 12 months ago with the acquisition of Rory Lobb. I just didn't see with, you know, the development they were going to be needing to put into Darcy, who looks like he's going to be a star. And they've got Croft on the sidelines, you know, still to sort of come, who's a really big lump of a lad as well. You know, Hugo Hagen down there. I just didn't see a position for the other bloke to be in the side. It's got nothing to do with him or his ability, but I just, you know, if you're going to develop the right guys, are you going for now? Are you going for later? It's, yeah, very, very confusing and a little frustrating watching on from the sidelines.
Should they be good enough for the now in your eyes?
I don't think that they're quite there at the moment because their youth, their big kids are very young. And so I'm still sort of saying that they're, from that point of view, they're 18 months away, but they certainly should be better than what they are playing at the moment.
I think there's a bit of that flowing around. Plough, it's great to have you on. Thanks a lot for sharing the time with us and the stories of Jason Dunstall.
Pleasure, Jared, anytime.